Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We continue our sermon today entitled, You Must Be Born Again, from the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. We left off with Nicodemus posing the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And that is from John chapter 3, verse 4. Our focal point primarily is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. But again, I will expand this to verses 9 through 21 as well, just in terms of the conversation that takes place and what is communicated more specifically from Jesus himself, sort of emphasizing what Jesus says in relation to the requirement to be born again. And as I somewhat stated the last time I preached about this, to be or not to be is not the question, but to be born again or not to be born again, that is the question. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. We've already talked about that, but we get to this point in the conversation where Nicodemus responds to what Jesus clearly points out is a requirement, that which is mandatory in order to see the kingdom of God, and that is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that means except a person be born again, then that person cannot see the kingdom of God. And as I said the last time, if you have an interest in the kingdom of God, then you must meet the requirement. And we oftentimes don't like to think of heaven and the kingdom of God in relation to any requirements. We prefer to dictate the terms and conditions of, if I could put it this way, venturing into God's territory. And it's really interesting how adamant and determined we are to get to heaven or to inherit the kingdom of God without having an interest in what God requires in order to inherit or even see said kingdom. You must be born again. And Jesus again points out, except a person experiences new birth or birth from above, that person cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus poses the question in verse 4, the third chapter of John, verse 4, about how can a man be born when he is old? And then Jesus responds, and I pointed out already how there's this sort of this play on words where Jesus uses the same words that Nicodemus does, only in a heavenly sense, or Nicodemus uses one word in his response, and Jesus uses a different word in his response. So Nicodemus poses the question about entering the second time into his mother's womb as far as the new birth is concerned. Jesus points out in his response in verse 5, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when we consider Jesus's response, again, when Nicodemus poses the question about entering a second time into his mother's womb, of course he knows that this is not the case, but he is still searching for the answer in relation to this requirement to be born again. And when Jesus responds, he says again, and these are words that that we're hearing in this conversation continually. That is, verily, verily. Jesus continues to say this throughout this passage of scripture when he is communicating with Nicodemus, which again means most assuredly. It's like the amen at the beginning rather than at the end. This is a trustworthy saying, and as if it's not trustworthy at all, or from the very beginning coming from Jesus himself, then Jesus reinforces the trustworthiness of the saying. And that is to say, it's coming from Jesus, so it's already trustworthy. But in case you missed it, he's going to reinforce the trustworthiness of what he's communicating. Sort of like where it said God gave Abraham the promise, and that was good enough. When God says something, when he gives a promise, then it's already good. But in order to shore it up, not for God's sake, but for Abraham's sake, God swore to Abraham, and he swore by, as I would say, his own name. So it's so beautiful to see how the Lord communicates this truth to Nicodemus, and he's communicating it to us as well. We can look at this conversation, and although it is personal for Nicodemus at this time, it is personal for you and for me. And that is, we must be born again. It's a requirement for everyone, but you must individually recognize where you stand with God, and you must recognize God's requirement that you be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. That is, to go to heaven, you must be born again. So in Jesus's response, where Nicodemus uses this word for a second time, that is, that he says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? When Jesus responds about, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And it's important to understand Nicodemus is saying a second time as in two times, you know, and you say, well, that's obvious, the second time. Well, the word that Jesus uses when he says born again is not the same word that Nicodemus uses when Nicodemus says a second time. So Jesus is not saying a second time in the same way that Nicodemus is saying a second time. Jesus is saying anew, from above. You must be born anew from above. Nicodemus is saying two times. So even though it seems like it's merely semantics, it isn't, because now we don't so much just focus on the requirement, we focus on the process. And Nicodemus is going to pose the question related to the process, which is related to the requirement. That is, you must be born again. How does it happen? So when Jesus is saying, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, again, preceded by verily, verily, you're not changing what Jesus is communicating. So again, this is not a bargain. This is not a negotiation regarding the requirement that you be born again. It is a necessity. And when Jesus talks of water and of the Spirit in relation to entering the kingdom of God, look at what Nicodemus says in verse 4. It's just fascinating. Nicodemus says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? And as I continue to communicate here, you look at what Jesus uses, the same words that Nicodemus uses, but he puts it in a different light. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see how he does that? It's beautiful. So the conversation is in itself brings out the beauty of Jesus's method of discourse, the way that he communicates with people and takes their words and which is typically tied to a lack of understanding, and how he brings light to the conversation because he is the light of the world. And so all that he speaks of and all that he reveals is based on light. And this is heavenly light, not some manufactured quasi-religious or religious experience. This is the true light. And that's what John speaks of in the very first chapter. And I read that the last time we talked about this sermon. So Jesus speaks of water and the Spirit, and it's important for us to realize that the water in this case, listen, I know that this is controversial, and maybe controversial is overstating it, but I would say I know that it's misunderstood. Listen, the conversation is not, well, let me rephrase. The conversation is about baptism, but it's not about water baptism. So the conversation is on birth. It is on not so much just birth as in natural birth. It is on being born again, birth from above, new birth. So if you realize the context in which this word water is used, it's being used in relation to being born or being born again. But there's a distinction between being born and being born again. And this is what Jesus is communicating here. The distinction between being born once, being born again, anew or from above. Nicodemus, again, communicates a second time birth, the way that he's understanding it. Jesus communicates a new birth, a birth from above. And if you're talking about any business from above, then it is certainly God's business in terms of how this takes place. Not that anything that happens below isn't God's business, but as we say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And therefore, God's will is done wherever God is, and God is everywhere. So God's will is done everywhere, in all places, at all times, under God's hand. So and when we communicate this requirement in terms of water and of the Spirit, the conversation is not on baptism as we understand it. And we should be clear about that. Let's not take the scripture and make it something that it isn't. And Jesus is saying, you must be born again. And therefore, the emphasis is on being born of the Spirit. And Jesus communicates that in the next verse where he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is natural is natural. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is spiritual is spiritual. And in both instances, he's speaking in relation to birth. That which is born naturally is natural. That which is born spiritually is spiritual. And how does this take place? Nicodemus is going to pose this question, and Jesus is going to speak to it as well. So it's so important for us to understand the context of this conversation, the natural and the spiritual. And Jesus is, of course, emphasizing the requirement for spiritual birth. That is birth anew. That is birth from above. So as he speaks in the seventh verse, Jesus says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Don't be amazed by this. Why not? He explains in verse 8, the wind blows where it will, where it breezes. The wind brings the breeze, okay? And you hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him in verse 9, how can these things be? And this is where Jesus takes off with the conversation. Not that he didn't own a conversation to begin with, because he immediately spoke, responded to Nicodemus in verse 3, where Nicodemus is speaking to him, and Jesus, in the introductory, the early phase of the conversation, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus cut right to the chase. But here again, we have what Jesus is communicating. And once Nicodemus poses this question in verse 9, how can these things be? Then Jesus takes off with the rest of the conversation, and he clarifies, as only he can clarify. It's important to understand again what Jesus is speaking of in relation to being born again. He is communicating that everyone who is born of the Spirit, this is not something that people can, I guess, bottle up and sell, even though we try. You don't bottle up and sell the new birth or the born again requirement. You know, I've got a package of born again. If you just dial 1-800 be born again, then I can send this off to you, postage paid, so on and so forth. Just send me a donation. That's the other thing people are charging for for salvation, it seems. But this is not that. Jesus is making it clear that this is God's business. And when you speak of the Spirit and you speak of what is impossible for man, then you realize this is only possible with God. That's what this conversation is about. It's a conversation from God to man, and man is responding in a natural way with natural understanding about heavenly spiritual business, or a heavenly spiritual requirement, and therefore a work that only God can do. So this conversation is the natural man having a conversation with the spiritual man, and the natural man having the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, communicate to him what is required in order to see, to enter the kingdom of God. Again, it's a spiritual business. And so the conversation is a spiritual conversation, and it involves a spiritual requirement, and therefore it is the work of the Spirit. And what Spirit are we talking about? We're speaking about the Spirit of God. You must be born again. And I love how this question is sort of the center. It's at the center of the conversation. How can these things be? Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, how can these things be? And I oftentimes speak of how I'm not trying to get picky about words here, but how we oftentimes talk about getting saved, you know, and more so than being saved. And I think that that's part of the problem that we run into is that we have so many people speaking of getting saved rather than being saved. So we seem to see this requirement that we must be born again as something that is dictated by man rather than something that is orchestrated by God. And this is where Jesus speaks of the wind blowing, what man can no more control. I say again, control the born again experience than he can control the wind. He can no more bottle up salvation than he can bottle up the wind. He can no more dictate the comings and goings of God's Spirit than he can dictate the coming and going of the wind. You know, you can't make it windy because you want it to be windy. And you can't dictate the requirement to be born again. You can't control that, is my point, any more than you can control the wind. But you know that the wind is there. You know that the wind brings with it the breeze. It comes and goes where it will. And so is the Spirit of God. So is the Spirit of God. But Jesus presents this in terms of the wind comes and goes and you don't understand. And this is what he's communicating about being born again. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. But it is a mystery revealed in Jesus Christ. That's what this conversation is about. So now we get to the crux of Nicodemus's conversation in terms of what really is a crux. Well, how can it be? How can these things be? And Jesus says in his response to Nicodemus, and I'm going to sort of summarize the rest of this conversation, where Jesus again is speaking of the verily, verily in verse 11, and he speaks of his testimony. You know, Jesus is speaking as the Father instructed him to speak. He's teaching as the Father instructed him to teach. He's speaking with heavenly authority about heavenly truth and heavenly requirements, but he is speaking in this case, in this conversation with Nicodemus, in earthly terms. And Jesus is now telling Nicodemus, you are a master of Israel and you don't know these things. And if I'm telling you of earthly things, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You're not believing what I'm telling you in earthly terms. So how are you going to understand or believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And Jesus speaks of his speaking in relation to his place in heaven. You know, he's saying that no one has ascended up to heaven but he who came down from heaven. In verse 13, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So now we get to, again, what or how can these things be? You don't get to go to heaven without recognizing. You don't get to see or enter the kingdom of God without recognizing that there's got to be an encounter with the Son of God lifted up. You've got to have that experience where you recognize Jesus Christ for who he is. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And what follows that? Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we're talking about all of this in relation to heaven, being born again, seeing or entering the kingdom of God, eternal life. And what is tied to all of this? Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, which results in what? Remember, Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus Christ doesn't say, and again, I know that this is not a very popular opinion on this, but Jesus doesn't say, well, Nick, bow your head and repeat these words after me. Well, Nicodemus, say these words if you want to be saved. Raise your hand and say these words after me. And then make sure you let one of the apostles know so that we can take your name and we can give a count of how many people got saved. No, he doesn't do that. The work is the work of the Spirit, and the work of the Spirit is based on a personal encounter with the Son of God. Not just in conversation, but in recognition. That is, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is Jesus Christ. He must be lifted up. And why is he lifted up? Not as a spectacle for you to form your own opinion about him, but as the Son of God lifted up in order for you to place your faith in the one who is the sacrifice for your sin. And Jesus is going to bring that out in terms of what the problem is with the world and with man and how he has come to provide salvation. He has come to provide salvation. So again, you think in terms of this conversation is about being born again. And when Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Now Jesus is speaking of being lifted up, and whosoever, believing in him, having eternal life. But listen to what precedes the eternal life, should not perish. So all of this based on being born again. I just don't think we grasp that there is not just there is no automatic bid to heaven. There is no automatic bid, no automatic membership into the kingdom of God, particularly when you speak of just being born. Just the natural man has a ready-made escort into heaven. No, you do not, sir. No, you do not, ma'am. You must be born again. And Jesus then puts it in terms of there is a lifting up and there is a requirement of faith. There is a requirement that you believe in him. That you believe in him so that you do not perish. That is, so that you are not destroyed, but that you have eternal life. And how long is eternal life? It is eternal. It is forever. It is perpetual. It is everlasting. So now this born again requirement is tied to eternal life. And then he speaks of the verse that we love to quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we forget the backside of that. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is, again, what we often lose sight of. We like to quote John 3:16, but we don't focus on words like perish, condemn. This everlasting life is not just about everlasting life. It is also about perishing and condemnation. And that's what Jesus delivers us from. But you must believe. Again, you must be born again. How can these things be? Jesus is explaining how these things are. So that's where we'll stop today. And we will conclude this, Lord willing, the next time we come together. And until then, be sure to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.